Welcome to the Power Academy podcast. Join a global community of believers who are switching on their faith.
Today's lesson, we're going to be talking about nine spiritual gifts. We're going to be talking about the five offices and the seven motivational gifts. And you might think, what are all those numbers? What's going on? If you're a brand new believer today, if you're someone who's been in ministry for 50 years, either way, you're going to love this. We're going to give you an overview of the gifts. And I'm telling you, God has given you gifts. He's given gifts to men and women. He's given you gifts. He's equipped you. He has equipped you because, you know what? He's equipped you to be successful. He's equipped you to be a minister. Amen. I tell people, you know, our job description as born-again believers is Luke 4, 18 and 19. Luke 4, 18 and 19. And because of that, He's equipped you so you can do those things. You can preach the gospel. You can heal the sick. You can see blind eyes open. You can help people be free and lead people into freedom. That's what you can do. You're the hands and feet of Jesus.
Amen.
And that's why it's so important to understand these gifts. So a quick overview of these gifts. If you've got your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. So the first verse we're going to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you've got your Bibles or iPads or iPhones or...
Irons.
It's
actually that to say.
Iron. Do you get it? Iron.
I get it.
It's a very dad joke, isn't it? It's a dad joke. Kylie has so much stuff. Her Bible's so big, she runs out of space.
I'm sorry.
Because I've got a big Bible.
You know, I've got my books.
She's
and
got all her stuff.
I've got the mouse thing that I can't get to work. I'm trying to get the comments up. I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I clearly need assistance.
We can see that. You've got your iPad here. Your iPad's working good, though. Look.
What script are you going to?
We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to look at, and let's start here at, let's start at verse 4. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. Mm-hmm. And we use the New King James, I use the New King James primarily. We use other versions like the Amplified and things like that. Yep. Carly uses the Modern English version. Mm-hmm. But this is from the New King James, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are differences or diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. Okay, let me go through that again.
There's a lot in that.
There are diversities of gifts. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's talking about the nine spiritual gifts, and that's what we're going to look at today, especially in the second lesson. We're going to actually break those down and go through this, how they operate, how you can operate in them, and how the spiritual gifts work. So there are nine spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. Mm-hmm. They're given as the Spirit wills. Mm-hmm. They're from the Holy Spirit. They work with the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. I believe this is talking about the five offices. The five offices, and we know they are the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. The five offices given by the Lord. That word there, Lord, given by the Lord Jesus, we believe. So there's five offices given by the Lord Jesus. And then verse 6 says, and there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. I believe that's talking about there are diversities of motivational gifts, activities. They're gifts that are different from spiritual gifts or the offices. These are activities, and it's God here, God the Father, who works them in all.
Right. And that's really awesome because it means that we don't have to decide which gift we're going to operate in that moment.
Right.
It's the Holy Spirit that gives us whatever, equips us with whatever we need to do the job in that time.
Amen. So the nine spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit, operates as he wills, as we're open to it. The five offices, the Lord Jesus places some in those offices. And then the seven motivational gifts, this is the exciting thing, God the Father places them inside everyone. Everyone he made, he put motivational gifts in there, put activities in there. So let's go through these real quickly. You've got your Bibles. Again, drop down to, in the same chapter, but drop down to verse 7 of that chapter. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And we're going to be looking at here, starting here, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all.
Right.
So these gifts are not for us personally to profit. They're actually for the body of Christ. They're to actually help people. They're actually to lead people to the Lord. They're to help us to minister to people.
Right, to minister to other people. For the benefit of all.
To the benefit of all, to minister to other people. Mm-hmm. And these are the nine spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. Okay, nine spiritual gifts. You're taking notes. We're going to go through these nine spiritual gifts. Remember, next week, you'll have the curriculum for this. And we release it afterwards because sometimes we get spirit-led while we're doing this. And you know what? We say things that we wasn't planning to say because the Holy Spirit, we pray in the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
These times are spirit-led. Therefore, the curriculum will be out afterwards. Anyway, so this is the nine spiritual gifts. Verse 8, for one is given the word of wisdom, that's number one, through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. the second spiritual gift, through the same Spirit to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, and to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, to another different kind of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing them to each one individually as he wills. Mm-hmm. So these are the nine spiritual gifts. And, before we go any further, let me say this as well. When we're talking about these things, the nine spiritual gifts, the five offices, and the seven motivational gifts, it's not always so cut and dry. Sometimes people want to put everything in a box and say, right, okay, is that a word of wisdom or is that a word of knowledge? Is mm-hmm. this person a prophet or are they an apostle? Is this, is this the motivational gift, leadership, or is it, helps? Don't try and be so narrow-minded. God won't be put in a box. Amen. Right. But this is just a good way for us to understand how some things work. There's gray areas in something. There's overlaps. Sometimes we're not quite sure. Is that word of knowledge or word of wisdom? But what we're going to do today is we're going to go through and show you how they work, how they operate inside of you, so you can start to recognize what gifts you have and how they work or what office you might be in.
And
so
that's it's really important, because I think sometimes we can look, especially maybe if we got born again when we were a child, a long, long time ago, and maybe we didn't have a Saul on the Damascus Road type conversion.
Saul on the Damascus Road conversion. You mean like a dramatic conversion?
Like a dramatic conversion, or we were very young as a child. We can look back at our life and almost feel like a little bit of a second-rate Christian. Right. Not that anyone is, but sometimes, people have misconceived ideas, mm-hmm. right? And we can feel like, well, I've just always been a Christian, and I just nothing ever dramatic's ever happened in my life, and I just don't know if I've ever operated in spiritual gifts. I just don't feel very special as a believer.
Well, I used to think that's so true. I used to think that something special would have to happen, like all of a sudden there'd have to be music playing and you could feel a presence and something would happen. Mm-hmm. And often you operate in some spiritual gifts you don't even know you're operating in.
Right.
At the time, because you just had an idea or something happened. Same with the motivational gifts. And so it's important. Some of you actually have an office gift you don't even know about. So it's exciting to find out what you already have.
It is. And, we have to trust the word at what it says, mm-hmm. right? It takes faith to believe the word of God. And the word of God is the truth. Mm-hmm. And it's telling us that to everyone is given a manifestation of gifts. Mm-hmm. In other words, everyone, every single one. If you're a believer today, you qualify. Amen. You qualify. Someone needs to say out loud, I have spiritual gifts.
Say, I have spiritual gifts. Yes, right? Praise the Lord. I have spiritual gifts.
And this isn't based on feeling or emotion. You haven't done anything to deserve a gift.
Right.
Okay? But we have to take it at face value. God has put on the inside of every single believer, every person has spiritual gifts on the inside of them, whether you feel like it or not.
Amen. Amen? Come on. You are equipped, praise the Lord. I'm saying this is powerful. So the nine spiritual gifts. Well, let's go through them again if you're taking notes. The first one is the word of wisdom. The second one is the word of knowledge. The third one is faith. The gift of faith. The fourth one is the gifts of healings. The fifth one is the working of miracles. The sixth one is prophecy. Seventh is discerning of spirits. Then tongues is the eighth one. And then nine, the interpretation of tongues. And we're actually going to go into these in depth in our next lesson today.
We'll unpack each one of them.
We'll unpack and show you how they work and explain the differences. Already I can tell people saying, what's the difference between this and this and how does that work? We're going to explain that. So the nine spiritual gifts, we're going to look at those in the next lesson. But we want to move on so that we can cover the five offices and the seven motivational gifts. But to remember, just leave it here. On verse 11 it says, but the one Spirit works all these things distributed in them, to each one individually as a Spirit wills. So the nine spiritual gifts, the Holy Spirit distributes them as he wills when you need them at a time when you need them.
Right.
And that's why they're so powerful, praise God. They'll help you minister. They'll help you win at life. The spiritual gifts are what, they're designed for us to win, and they're designed for us to help people and to be a success, praise the Lord. So the next part we want to look at is the five offices that are placed in by the Lord Jesus Christ. To back up that verse, it says that there are differences of ministries. Ministries, the word ministry is meaning service, serving, okay? Mm-hmm. There's ways of serving. And this is where one of the myths we're going to look at today real quick is the fivefold ministry gifts. When I first got born again and got into the body of Christ and started finding out these things, I thought the fivefold ministers were like the super dupers. They were like, what was the books in England we used to have? Was it the Fantastic Five?
The famous five
and the secret seven. Secret. Right. We're talking about the famous five and the secret seven.
I think that's very English. Enid Blyton.
Enid Blyton,
yeah.
Yep, so
she was the author.
Or maybe you've heard of them over here. I don't
children's
know.
Children's books.
They're children's books. But the secret seven and the famous five.
Right.
I think there's one more. But anyway.
I don't know.
Enid Blyton books.
The Fab Four.
But I was like, the famous five. I thought like this was a big deal. Like these five offices were like, now they are a big deal, but hear me now. I used to think they're the heroes. And actual fact, it says right here, it says these are ministries, meaning these are service gifts. These are gifts. Yes, they are leadership gifts. Yes, they are gifts that to help lead the body of Christ. Very important. But how did Jesus lead? Jesus led through serving. Mm-hmm. And he still led. I mean, let me tell you, he still stood up and said things when they needed to be said. He led. He was the strongest leader that's ever walked this planet. But he also served his people.
Yep.
So we're looking at these five gifts here, and it says that there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. I believe the Lord Jesus chooses who he puts in these gifts. He picks people for these offices. You can't just decide that you want to be a prophet or you want to be a pastor or you want to be an evangelist. If you do that, it probably won't go well with you. Because what will happen is you're going to be trying to do something you're not graced to do. You're going to try and do something that God hasn't imparted grace and ability and a way to do it. You're not going to be able to do it. And a lot of people in the body of Christ get frustrated because maybe someone's told you you're a pastor. Maybe someone's told you you're a prophet or you're an evangelist. Evangelist is often the one that's, because, you know, if you go and talk to someone, they're like, you must be an evangelist. Well, now I'm just telling someone about the Lord. So anyway.
Yeah, and that's a really important, the scripture says that everyone is called in 1 Peter. Is everyone is called to give a reason for why they believe,
an answer,
right? For the reason of why they believe and be able to explain the gospel. Doesn't mean that everyone's called to be an evangelist.
Right.
But everyone is part of the Great Commission. Everyone is called to go and make disciples, right? And preach the word, but not everyone is called to the office of an evangelist.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I've got here Ephesians 4. If you want to turn to Ephesians 4, we're going to look at Ephesians 4 together. This is where we get the five office gifts from, Ephesians 4. And in Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, and he himself, it's talking about Jesus here, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, he himself gave some. Okay, so Jesus Christ put some people in these offices. The way I look at it, it's a little bit like coaches of a team or, something like that where you can't all be coaches.
You can't all be a quarterback.
You can't all be a quarterback. You can't all be a coach. Otherwise, who's going to actually run the ball? Who's actually going to play the game? Okay, who's going to get involved? So this is a coaching type role, if you like. That's why there's only some people. So right away, I want to get the myth that these people are, you know, they're more important. They're more valued by Jesus. That's not true.
Right.
He just places these people in there strategically because, believe it or not, God knows what he's doing.
Come on.
He knows how to do this thing, praise the Lord. He's the Lord of all. He knows the beginning from the end. And he's placed these offices inside people on purpose for a reason so that the body of Christ can be equipped.
Yep.
So he himself, Jesus, gives some. So this is a some thing. This is not everyone. Not everyone is called into a fivefold ministry position. So this is for some people. And here we go here. Here's the list of them. Some to be apostles, the first office gift. Some to be prophets. Some to be evangelists. Some to be pastors and some to be teachers. That's Ephesians 4:11. I know some people say, well, maybe he says here pastors and teachers. He doesn't say some, he just says pastors and teachers. Maybe pastors and teachers are the same thing. Let me tell you, if you're a pastor, you need to be able to teach, but not all teachers are pastors. So I think a lot of pastors actually can teach or should be able to teach, but there is also an office gift of a teacher who's just purely a teacher in the body of Christ. So verse 12, we're in Ephesians 4, verse 12, says here, what are these offices for? What are these offices for? Right here, Paul tells us what these office gifts are for, what these office administrations are for, what the purpose is for. For the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
That's really important.
Wow. That is really important. Right here, we see the purpose of the fivefold office gifts, okay?
Yep.
For the equipping of the saints. That's you and me. We are all saints. Everyone who's born again today, we are saints.
Yeah.
We are saints in the body. If you think, you can't call us saints, we're just dirty sinning worms. Go back and watch Power Academy lessons 1, 2, 3, and 4, and that'll explain that when you got born again, spiritually, you are a saint, praise the Lord. You are the righteousness of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. You are righteous, you're a saint, and these office gifts are for the equipping of the saints. You're the saints.
Yep.
And why do the saints need equipping? The saints need equipping, ready for this? For the work of the ministry. We're in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
Right.
The fivefold ministry offices, people who are in fivefold ministry offices should be equipping equipping the saints, training the saints, encouraging the saints, empowering the saints, so that the saints can do the work of the ministry.
Right.
Let me say right now, before we explain these five offices, one of the biggest lies, I think, in the body of Christ is that the ministers, the people in the fivefold offices, some people call them the pulpit gifts, if you like, because they're the ones that are on the stage doing the pulpit thing. That's not always true. But the people that are in these offices, they're the ones that do the work of the ministry. The rest of the people, they just sit there in the congregation or just sit there
eating popcorn.
Eat popcorn and let them
be entertained.
Let the real ministers, let the real fivefold ministers do the work of the ministry.
That is not true.
You know, I believe on the day of Pentecost, everyone got filled with the Holy Spirit who was there at the time. And then Peter went and preached and saw thousands of people filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe the devil thought, what am I going to do? I had one Jesus. Now there's like thousands.
Now he's multiplied in thousands of people.
There's thousands of little Jesus running around. How do I stop this thing? And
that's a really bad day.
That's a bad day. It's a bad day for the devil. So I believe one of the lies that the devil sowed into the body of Christ was that the fivefold ministry gifts, they're the ones that do the ministry. They're the ones that do the work of the ministry. The rest of the people, they just sit and watch. Or maybe, you know, you're the ones that give to it. You go to work all day and then give money so the real fivefold ministry can do the work of the ministry. That is not true. That is not true. God has called every single saint to do the work of the ministry. Now, sure, yes, some people are going to be doing this as their vocation. Some people they're going to designate their life, and all they're going to do is one of these fivefold office.
But those
positions.
People are in the minority. It says he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Some.
That's right. Some of them, and they're the ones that are, like I said, like the coaches. They're the ones that actually inspire, empower, equip the saints to do the work of the ministry.
Right.
So I'm here to tell you today, you there watching right now, I don't care how old you are, how young you are, what country you're from, what experience you've got, you are called to do the work of the ministry. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. God hasn't got anyone else. He's going to use you to do the work of the ministry.
Right.
I'm telling you, God has chosen you to do the ministry work, praise the Lord. And whether you're called in a fivefold position or not, you don't have to get hung up about that. You do what God's called you to do. And we can explain what these positions are. But don't think to yourself you have to have one of these fivefold office positions to be of any importance.
Right.
No, really, if we're going to look at it anyway, the fivefold ministers here, we're on the back lines. They're on the back lines equipping the saints who are out on the front lines doing the work of the ministry.
Right.
And I'm telling you that you need to understand this, because otherwise you get the perception that unless you're called to one of these fivefold offices, then Lord, please let me be in the fivefold ministry. You know, if that's your motive, I know people have business cards. Yep. You know, there's one of my friends said they had a business card that said apostle, prophet, evangelist, APE. It's like apostle. I'm telling you, people try want this title to try and feel special. You are never going to get any more special than you are right now. As a child of God, you are special. You're loved by Him. You don't need your identity to be in one of these offices to feel special. So I want to get away from that myth.
So there's a couple of good questions in here, and people are asking the difference between an apostle and a disciple. Are they the same thing? Or are they different?
They're different. That's what we're going to go through. We'll look. Hold that thought, praise the Lord. Hold that thought. We're going to go through and list these out. So that's what the first thing I want to tell you. This is not a deal where these are the elite, and you know these are the super dupers, and everyone else is just below them and serving them. Really, it's the other way around. The fivefold ministers should be serving the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones serving the body of Christ. They're the ones equipping the body of Christ for the work of the ministry.
Yeah.
So let's go through what these are. Yeah. These fivefold offices, if you like. The first one is the apostle. You know, it's interesting. Some people use the hand example. Mm-hmm. So I'll show you that at the end, how the hand example works. But the apostle, okay, the first one is the apostle. And the apostle works with the reason why they say, I'll do it now rather than do it at the end. It's going to be easier. The hand example, I think it's a little cheesy sometimes. So if you cringe, I cringe when I first heard it. But it's actually a good way of remembering. It's a good visual to do this. So it's a bit like your hand, okay? So the five fingers on your hand. So the apostle would be the thumb. Okay, and here's a few things about the thumb. First of all, the thumb is a sent one. It's one who sticks out from the rest. It's one who's sent, usually sent to help start works or to pioneer a work.
A special messenger.
A special messenger. Amen. Mm-hmm. Apostle is a special messenger. Also, not special as in they're any more special.
But they have a particular message.
They have a special message.
Paul was the apostle of grace.
That's right. So they have a special message to bring people and to equip people with. And the apostle works with all the other ministry gifts. And often an apostle will actually work in the areas of a prophet and evangelist and all these things. He'll work in those gifts on these offices. And sometimes someone can start out as a pastor or start out as an apostle, a prophet or a teacher, and then work into an apostle. That does happen as well. But remember, it's Jesus who decides what you are, what office you have. It's not our decision. We can't just say, I want to be an apostle today.
I think today I'm going to be.
Yes, today I'm going to be this. It doesn't work like that. So the apostle is the thumb on the hand, if you like, and they work with all the other spiritual gifts. They're a sent one that they're sent out. The second one we have is the prophet. The prophet is like your index finger because the prophet points the way, praise the Lord. The prophet shows direction, he points the way. But the fivefold office of a prophet is much more than just someone who shows the way or tells things to come. What the office of a prophet is, they're someone who actually rallies the troops. They're someone who actually leads people, motivates people, immobilizes. Thank you, that's a good word. Immobilizes people mobilizes people into the work of the ministry. So much more than just someone who can. Sometimes we think if someone gives accurate words of knowledge or words of wisdom, they're automatically a prophet. They must be a prophet. No, they're actually in those spiritual gifts or the gift of prophecy, spiritual gift of prophecy, but they're not actually in the fivefold office of a prophet. A fivefold office of a prophet is actually much more about revealing truth and actually mobilizing the troops, if you like, mobilizing the body of Christ into those things. And we'll look at the difference between the spiritual gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet. Mm-hmm. Later. So the prophet's like the index finger. They point the way. The third one I have is the evangelist. The evangelist is the middle finger. I have to be careful you do this one. The middle finger.
So the middle finger. Oh, gosh.
I've seen people teach this and get themselves in trouble.
That could really increase your views or
decrease your views. So the middle finger, okay, is the evangelist. The evangelist sticks out further than the rest. See, he reaches out further. He's reaching out to win the lost. And in fact, an evangelist will actually motivate other people to win the lost. They'll win the lost as well, don't get me wrong, but they'll motivate other people to win the lost.
Yep.
You can tell an evangelist because often they'll stand up and they'll say things like, hey, you know, I'm not an evangelist, but, you know, we're all evangelists. You need to be evangelizing. You need to be telling people about the love of God. You need to be going out and winning the lost. You need to be telling your neighbors, go down to the high street, go down to the mall and tell people about the love of God. You need to evangelize. Well, I'm not an evangelist, they say, but we all need to be doing this work. Well, yeah, they really are. Usually they're in the office because they're motivated.
It's quite funny
people.
To watch, actually.
It is. You can tell an evangelist, they're the ones that say, I'm not an evangelist. We all should be evangelists.
Like, yeah, you're an evangelist.
So evangelists will motivate and inspire other people to win the lost and other people to do the work of the ministry. Remember, so that's the evangelist. So and then we have the fourth one pastor.
Yes,
prophet, pastor, apostle. It's the pastor. The pastor is married to the church. Okay, the ring finger. I told you, it gets a little bit it's a little bit limited, but it's just a good visual. So the pastor is married to the church. Okay, the pastor is a shepherd of the church. He loves the people of the church. He protects them. A shepherd protects and provides. He provides them with food. He should be providing them with good teaching, providing them with good leadership, providing them with protection. You know, a pastor should protect his flock. Okay, if you're a pastor and you have a flock, you should protect that flock. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might have some sheep. You feed your sheep. You might have some goats. You milk the goats until they leave because goats are always saying, but pastor. So you milk them until they leave, and then you've got your wolves, and your wolves you run off. But that leaves you. That's a pastor.
You opened
job.
A whole can of worms
I
there.
I know. We'll teach that another time. But a pastor is responsible for his flock, and he's meant to protect his flock. He's married to the flock, if you like. He's married to the church of God. And then you have the last one here. This is where it gets. I told you it gets cheesy. The last one here is the teacher, the fivefold minister. Teacher who teaches the body of Christ. Right. And the reason why it's a little finger is because that's the finger that goes in your ear. I don't actually.
You know, when teachers teach, it's because faith comes by hearing,
right.
And hearing by the word of God,
hearing
right? And
God.
Teachers
Amen.
Teach the word of God that encourage people in their faith that comes by hearing. And I guess that's why it's the smallest digit that fits in your ear. But anyway, it's a way to remember it.
Apostle, a sent one, works with the other four ministry offices. The prophet, he points the way. The evangelist, he reaches out further than the rest. The pastor, he's married to the church, and the teacher that teaches the body of Christ, praise the Lord, and motivates and helps people to teach the body of Christ. They're the five offices. Again, it's some are called. Not all, some are called. And some people say that some people do need some five-fold ministry.
Come on.
Five-fold ministry. So if you have five-fold ministry, then, but it's for the equipping of the saints, okay? I've got here, too many saints have believed the devil's lie that the clergy do all the work and the congregation just support them. This is totally opposite of God's plan for the body of Christ. Really, the clergy or the office gifts, these five office gifts are the ones that are meant to be serving, equipping, training, and leading the body of Christ so that they can do the work of the ministry, praise God. So there's the five office gifts offices. Jesus places you in those things. You might say, how do I know what I am? Just do the work of the ministry.
That is a question, actually, on YouTube. Caroline's asking, how do you know what gift you have? Does a person tell you what gift you have, or does the Holy Spirit tell you?
The Holy Spirit tells you. Be very careful of people coming along and telling you, you're this, you're that. Now, if you have 10 different people from 10 different places that hear from God and have your best interest at heart, and they love you and they hear from God, and they're all telling you the same thing, then maybe you need to start listening to that and saying, Lord, is this true? But you need to hear it from Jesus himself. You need the Lord to tell you. And if you're put in one of the fivefold offices, you should be able to tell me or tell us when the Lord told you that. Right. How did he speak that to you? When was that? It wasn't just like someone just come along and said, I think you're a prophet, and that's it, you're a prophet. And I would be resistant. I was actually, resistant to be entering into the fivefold ministry gifts. It's something that it's like, I really want to know for sure. Because it's not a glamour thing. It's not a superiority thing. Yeah. It's actually something you really want to be sure about. So it's okay to say, Lord, I'm not sure yet. Confirm that to me and be resistant. And most of the time, people are doing they're operating in these offices without even knowing it. So a lot of the time, you'll have a pastor who's just pastoring people, and he's got a flock and he's pastoring people, but he's not necessarily officially a pastor in a church.
Right.
And then you have pastors in churches, unfortunately, that might not be called to be pastors, but because people have told them they're pastors or they want to be a pastor, they just become a pastor. So these offices aren't just, if someone's in the position of a pastor, they must be a pastor.
So I think one of the key notes that the indicators that set somebody apart as part of the fivefold ministry, rather than just having an ability to teach. Mm-hmm. You can have people that are teaching in high school and they're gifted teachers. They're not necessarily called to be teachers in the fivefold ministry.
And we're going to look at that.
Right? We're going to look at those. But it's an area of responsibility. People, those minority in the body of Christ that are called to the fivefold ministry are, you can identify them by influence and responsibility.
Yeah,
they have responsibility and they have influence. And whether anyone ever calls them an apostle, an evangelist, a pastor, whatever, they'll probably never use that title, actually. Right. It's not necessary to use it, but it's interesting because you'll notice that they have authority in that area.
Yeah.
So an apostle will go in and they'll make something that, one of the characteristics of an apostle is they'll go and they'll raise up leaders and they'll raise up churches and they'll raise up the other four of the fivefold ministry.
Yeah.
And they'll do it without it necessarily even openly exerting their authority. It's just like a spiritual order that happens. You'll notice you'll see people operating in these offices without them ever declaring it to the world.
Right.
Right, it's authority and responsibility.
Amen. Authority, responsibility. I'd add one more to that as well. Restraint. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, people that want to, I'm a pastor, you must follow me, or I'm a prophet. I mean, if they're like that type of heavy shepherding, or actually type of false not on people, then often they might have missed it, because usually people who are in these offices, they operate in restraint. They don't just force it on people. Like Carly said, they don't use that title a lot. Now, pastors do, because culturally, especially in America, and I believe in other nations as well, culturally, if you're a pastor in a church, out of respect, people call you pastor. So-and-so, Pastor Lawson, here's our pastor, Pastor Lawson Perdue. So you'd say pastor because it's a respect thing and things like that. But if people go around and say, I'm prophet so-and-so, I'm evangelist so-and-so, sometimes if they're forcing that and forcing people to believe that, then sometimes that can be. Now, again, I've said that. I'm not saying that someone who labels themselves that isn't in that office. Don't get me wrong. But what we're talking about here is authority, responsibility, and restraint. And you'll see these people operating. If you look out for it, you'll see these people operating in these offices without even having a title. Yeah. And I'm thinking of my good friend Joseph Z. He resisted the title of a prophet for like 10 years or 15 years, even though he was a prophet. He was immobilizing the body of Christ to prophesy. He was showing people things to come. He was actually having words for specific situations. He was training people in prophecy. He was very strong in the gift of prophecy and mobilizing people, doing meetings where people were prophesying.
So the markers were there.
So it was there. The markers were there. The markers of him, he was marked as a prophet. And it took the Lord, the Lord had to keep speaking to him. And finally he submitted and said, okay, Lord, I submit to that thing. I am a prophet. But it took him like 15 years to submit to it. It was like he was resistant to it because, he didn't want the label of a prophet. And because I think some of these things have got out of balance because we think that they're glamorous. People want to use these titles to try and validate themselves or make themselves feel special. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. And don't get so hung up on the titles again. And sometimes there's some overlap with these offices. They're not so clean cut as the five. there's some overlap. Some people are definitely pastors and teachers. Some people that prophesy might not be necessarily in the office of a prophet, you know, and we can all prophesy, mm-hmm. for instance. We can all evangelize. We can all do these things. So that's the five office gifts. We're going to have to move on because I'm going to get stuck on this. But they're very fascinating. And just ask the Lord. And you don't expect, you know, well, this is what I'm going to find. Sometimes you might be working, just serve, work the ministry, you know, serve mm-hmm. people, do what the Lord told you to do one day at a time, one step at a time. And these things will usually reveal themselves. But right. I have to say, most of the time, I know this might not be encouraging for some, it's usually like 10 years plus before you realize what your office gift is. I'm just saying. In my experience, when I've seen people, it often takes 10 years or so for them to realize, oh, this is actually what I am. 10 years of serving. And I hate to put a number out there because people get stuck on that. And you might not agree
with me. There's some tenure there.
You might not agree with me.
There's but some experience there.
I feel like it's a 10-year plus deal. And that's what I've seen in my own life and other people's lives. You know, I'm not saying that's a hard and fast rule. I'm just saying just serve the Lord. Don't get hung up in your position or your title or office, if you like. Just serve the Lord. And see what happens, praise the Lord.
And remember, it's the Lord that appoints people to these positions, okay? So just because someone comes along and names you something, their word is not more important to you than the Lord's word to
Come
you.
Come on. Amen.
Right? It doesn't, somebody else's opinion of you or name for you or label that they place in you does not supersede what the Lord is telling you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
So anyway, he'll confirm it.
And remember,
you don't have to get hung up over it.
People. So assume that, you know what, you're doing the work of the ministry until the Lord shows you otherwise.
Amen.
That's a great way to start off. Assume that you're just going to serve the Lord and do the work of the ministry until God shows you otherwise. But the Lord will reveal it to you. And it's powerful, praise God. So they're the five offices. Remember, those five offices are to serve the body of Christ for the equipping of the saints. And that's how that works, praise God, to build up the body of Christ. So they're there to serve the body of Christ.
Yep.
The next section I want to talk about is the seven motivational gifts. Okay, the seven motivational gifts. And these are found in Romans 12. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans 12. We'll start at verse 6. This is Romans 12. Verse 6, and these are called the seven motivational gifts or the seven activities, if you like. And some of this, you know, is people's opinions on things. I happen to really believe this and understand this, and a lot of the main leaders in the body of Christ will teach this way because it makes a lot of sense, and it's really powerful when you understand this. When I understood this, it really set me free in my own walk with the Lord. So these are the seven motivational gifts, okay? And this is found in Romans 12. Let's start in verse 6. Romans 12, verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Okay, these are gifts that are inbuilt in us, as we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. Don't turn back there, but it says that these are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all of them in all. So that actually, God the Father, I believe when God the Father made every single person, man, woman, or child, you know, every single person, I guess he made children, they all made children, right? That's it, man, woman, or child. I guess Adam and Eve. He made as adults, but everyone else were made as children.
Anyway.
Man, woman, and child. Everyone God made, he put these gifts inside them. He put some or a combination of these gifts inside them. And I believe they're almost like they're soulish gifts. They're almost like gifts that are inbuilt in our character.
They're motivational.
They're motivational gifts. They work in our mind, our will, and our emotions. So that means that even unbelievers have these gifts. Even unbelievers have one or some of these gifts inside of them. They're motivated by something different. They have activities. They're gifted or better at some activities than other. And we're going to look at these. So this is Romans 12, verse 6. Verse 6 says, let me finish verse 6. Let's use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. So that's the first one, prophecy. The second one, ministry. Okay, in proportion, prophecy in portion of our faith. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's the first one, prophecy. The second one, verse 7, on ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Okay, so the second one is ministry, or you could say serving.
Yeah, my translation, modern English says serving.
Serving, so ministry or serving. And then verse 8 says, he who exalts, in verse 7, the second part of verse 7 says, he who teaches in teaching. So the third one is teaching.
Yeah.
I'll go back through these. Don't worry if you're trying to take notes. I'll go back through these. Verse 8, he who exalts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness.
Right.
So let's go through these seven gifts. So if you write them down, the first one's prophecy. The second one is ministry or serving. The third one is teaching. The fourth one is exhortation or encouragement. The fifth one is giving. The sixth one is leading or ruling.
Now, some say ruling. Do some say administration?
verse 8, leading. Yeah, I think some translation says administration, maintenance, administration, things like that. Mm-hmm. And then the seventh one is mercy or love. Okay, that word there, mercy, is meaning love. So you might think this is, some of you, this might be the first time you've heard of these. Let me break these down for you. And we can look at these. First of all, prophecy. You might say, well, there's a spiritual gift of prophecy. That's what we're going to look at next.
There's the office of a prophet.
There's the office of a prophet. And then there's prophecy here as a motivational gift. These are three different things. So right. The motivational gift of prophecy. Remember, we're talking about activities. We're talking about what motivates you to do something. The motivational gift of prophecy is much more in the area of like wisdom and being a visionary. Being able to see things in the future. Not settling for the norm. Being able to be
think
a visionary.
Think outside the box.
Think outside the box. See things in the future. See things that, I'm not talking about future like fortune telling. I mean in the future is in how could we make this better? How could we be invent something or be, what's the right word? Intuitive.
Yeah, innovative.
Innovative, thank
so
you.
So I was thinking like you can see this, these motivational gifts, even in people that aren't even saved.
I know, because God the Father put them in when he made the people. So like, people aren't saved sometimes operating these.
Like Elon Musk. Now, I don't know whether he's saved or not saved. Right. He's the inventor of Tesla, right? And I mean, he has different way of thinking.
Right.
He thinks differently.
And I would say probably he has the motivational gift. One of his motivational gifts in his soul realm, if you like, in his character, is this prophecy, is this being able to see things in the future, being able to think outside the box. Mm-hmm. And some of these people, you know, like we said, they're probably not born again. Like Steve Jobs was someone like this. He was able to see things outside the job. And
Create
new technology. I hate to use public examples. Then people saying, actually, guys, say that Steve Jobs. No, I'm just saying that's, you can see this gift operating in people.
Even in the world. Yeah.
So if you're someone who's often thinking ahead, often thinking, how could we fix this? Often thinking, how could we create something new? You're not withheld in boundaries. You dream a lot. Mm-hmm. These people could be dreamers. They dream a lot. So why are you dreaming? Well, they're dreaming about things. How could we, what's the future hold? How can we improve things and things like that? That might be the motivational gift of prophecy.
Doesn't mean that you're called to be a prophet.
No, it's visionary. It's different. They're different words used here, and it's different from the office of a prophet and from the spiritual gift of a prophet. And we'll look at the spiritual gift of a prophet later. But prophecy as a motivational gift, as a gift of activities, something that motivates your wisdom. The second one is ministry or serving. Okay, this could be looked at as helps as well. Someone who loves to serve, and you see these people. These are the people that just love to serve, love to help. They don't want to be number one. They don't want to be the leader. They don't want to be the one making the decisions. But they love to serve and they love to help. Mm-hmm. And sometimes these people, they're motivated by that. They love to make things right. They love to help people, clean things, put things in order, things like that. They just love to serve.
These are the problem solvers. These are the people that fix a problem before you even realize that it existed.
Right.
That is the ministry of helps.
I was in church the other day and this child knocked over my drink. And as I looked up, this guy had already come through the door with a big thing of kissing towel.
He was on it.
How do you even know? It's like you could see that's going to happen. I'm going to have to help with that. And he come and help. Mm-hmm. People who love to serve. And again, I don't want to make general statements, but often people in care professions and, people who care for other people have this motivational gift to serve people. They love to serve. Yep. They love to help. And that's their very nature. They love to minister. Mm-hmm. Really, the word minister means to serve. Anyway, they love to serve and minister. So you can spot those people. Maybe that's you. Maybe you just love to serve and that's where you get your fulfillment from. You'll know what type of motivational gift you have. You might have a combination by what gives you fulfillment, what motivates you to do something normally.
Yep.
And then you have, and what can happen with people with a gift of serving, people try and put them in leadership. You need to lead this and lead that. And actually, in fact, no, they need to stay in that position of serving and helping. Yep. That's where they're gifted at.
Yep.
The third one here is teaching. Again, this is not the office of a teacher. What this is someone who can take something difficult and explain it to you, make it easy. And that motivates them.
Make something complex seem simple.
Yeah. Some people can make things simple, complex.
Yeah, that's a different gift.
Teachers can make something complex and make it simple. Mm-hmm. And some of these people are literally teachers in high schools and
they're anointed.
And colleges and universities. They're actually, that's their motivation to teach people. Not every teacher has got the motivational gift of teaching, but some people have. But some people, it might be something as simple as, someone comes to fix your furnace or something and he shows you, that works like this, that works like that. And all of a sudden, after 5 minutes of them, you're like, I understand now. I never understood that before, but now I understand it. It could be people operate in this gift, have this motivation to show people how something works.
Yep, and you'll notice this because maybe you're the kind of person that when somebody comes along and they show an interest, whether it's a child or a person, there's a a feeling like you need to explain what you're doing. Right. You need to explain the process. You need to, it's very step by step, precept upon precept, that need to unpack and explain the details to people. That could be the motivational gift of teaching.
Yeah, you have so good. You have like a desire, you have a motivation to show people things and how it works.
Yep.
And actually lead them into that truth and actually show. And like I said, this could be secular things. This doesn't have to be spiritual things. This could be secular things. You just want to show people. You want to help people understand.
Yep.
If you have that motivation where you want to help people understand in a good way, and when you're around those people with this motivational gift, if you feel like, man, I understand that now.
You get excited about whatever they're doing because now they've made it so simple that you feel empowered that you can do it too.
And you
they probably have a motivational gift of teaching.
Yep, so that's the motivational gift of teaching. You can explain difficult things, make it easy. The fourth one here is exhortation or encouragement. Exhortation or encouragement. And these people just make you feel good when you're around them. When you're around them, you feel good about yourself. You know, you feel better about yourself. Again, these can even be people that aren't believers yet because God the Father puts these gifts inside people and you just feel good about yourself.
These are your cheerleaders.
Your cheerleaders, they encourage you. They make you feel good. They're good coaches.
They edify you.
They edify, that's right. Yep. They make good coaches.
They build you up.
Good teachers.
They make you feel like you have the confidence to do something, that you can, that when you're with them, you can do anything.
Yeah.
Right? You may come into a situation feeling like you're no good and you can't do it, and they will bring out all of these are naturally optimistic people. Mm-hmm. They'll bring out the best in you and they'll show you where your strengths are.
Yeah.
That's a gift to show somebody else where their strengths are. Mm-hmm. That's a gift.
Yeah, and it's powerful. So that's exhortation or encouraging. That's a motivational gift. The fifth motivational gift here I've got is giving, the gift of giving. It says him who gives with liberality in verse 8 of Romans 12. So it's the gift of giving. He said, how can you tell if someone's got the gift of giving? Usually they love to make money. Usually they love to actually, you know, if you're a giver financially, then you need seed, right? You need money to be able to give it.
Yep.
And often the people who are very entrepreneurial, these people are entrepreneurial. They love to make money. They love to make things happen. And some people misunderstand them and say, oh, they're greedy. They're all about the money. No, a lot of the time it's because, or most of the time I think, is because they have this motivational gift to give. They have this motivational gift to actually want to bring in resources so they can give them.
Yeah. Pastor also really set you free in this area.
Oh, yeah. This was
our pastor.
Over 12 years ago or so now. I've always liked making money, and people make me feel guilty. Oh, you're greedy, Ashley. But it's like, no, it wasn't about making money for myself. I just love making money, and then I'd use that money to give and to actually.
Because you saw that it was a tool for giving.
It was a tool for giving. So
right.
I had this love for making money. I didn't have a love of money, but I had a love for making money. Why? Because I had a love to give. But I used to feel guilty of, I'm always about trying to make money, so I need to stop trying to make money. But in actual fact, no, it's actually God's gift. If you love making money, if you're entrepreneurial, you love doing business, you love buying and selling things, whatever it is, you love doing those things, it's probably because you have the gift of giving.
Yeah.
And that's an outlet for it. And as you give, praise the Lord, God's going to give you more money so you can give more. So the gift of giving with liberality.
Because he gives seed to sowers.
That's right. So I went on a trip to England real quickly with my pastor, and he showed me this. And he said, no, the reason why you love making money is because you have the gift of giving. He said, why do you like making money so much? I said, really? I said, I like the buzz of the deal, but really what really motivates me is if I make $1,000, I can give $1,000, I can give $500, I can give a couple of $100 without even thinking about it because I've just made $1,000. And I like that. I like, you know, the easier it is to make money, the easier it is to give money. And maybe I'm not very spiritual, but for me, if you have to work, you know, a month to make $1,000 and you give $1,000, it's harder to give that money.
Because you know you spent a month getting it.
You have spent a month with blood, sweat and tears to get it. But if you bought and sold something or run a business and $1,000 comes to you in a day or in a few hours, then it's easy to give that. So I used to love making money so I could give more money. And Pastor Lawson showed me, he said, you have the motivational gift of giving. That's one of your motivational gifts. That's why you love to give. So be set free today if that's you.
Amen.
You know, God, it says here with liberality, with freedom, he who gives, verse 8, he who gives with liberality, with freedom, let it be free. In fact, my good friend Mark Hankin says, he says, if you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit.
Come on.
Don't you like that? If you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit. And that's how he supports it, through this entrepreneurial type thing. So the fifth one is giving. The sixth one, number six, we're talking about the seven motivational gifts, is leading or ruling. It says here, he who leads with diligence. So maybe you're a natural leader. Maybe you love to lead things. And you can tell, you know, even if you put five people in an elevator and the elevator breaks, who's the one who's going to say, right, this is what we're going to do, people, follow me. You know, who's the one who actually leads things? These team building exercises often expose these people.
You're the group organizer.
The group organizer, the leader.
You're going to be the one that plans the trip, that plans the activities. You're going to be one that takes the chaos and creates order out of something that's chaotic.
Yeah,
right?
The head of the PTA at school and things like that often have this gift of leadership. They just love to lead things. And if you have a strong-willed child, let me give a little tip here. If you have a strong-willed child at home, they probably have one of their motivational gifts is leadership.
Yeah.
And that's why they're strong-willed often, because they want to do things, they want to lead it. They don't want to be told what to do, they want to lead. Now, we all know that the best leaders also are the best followers, so we should learn to follow. But if you have a leading gift, you love to actually help people, lead people, show people the direction. This is what we're going to do, people.
And let me just say that, you know, one of the ways that you can, just one of the ways that you can identify the gifts that are in you, they're usually the things in your character that have been attacked by other people.
Oh, right? That's good. Say it again, Connie.
So people accuse you of being greedy because you like making money. Maybe you've got the gift of giving. Or you just love everyone. You just love everyone. You're just too tender-hearted.
Too soft.
No, that's because you probably have the gift of mercy, right? You're really sensitive. You have a deep empathy for people, you know. Or you're just too bossy. You're so bossy. You just have the gift of leadership, that's the motivational gift of leadership that's in you. Let me tell you, the enemy has been around people long enough to spot potential in them. And he'll do anything he can to attack them in the area of their gifting, because he's terrified they might actually use it. Amen. So if you've got common things that people have said to you over the years about your personality, your traits, the way that you are, it's probably actually because you have a natural gift, a God-given ability in that area, mm-hmm. and the enemy is trying to persecute you in it.
That's good, Kai. That's so true. So these motivational gifts should really encourage you that God's given you things inside of you to make you successful. And whatever motivates you often is these gifts. Mm-hmm. And the last one, the seventh one, is mercy, the gift of mercy. And that translates mm-hmm. to love. If you look at that word, mercy, talking about love, having a love, having a compassion for people, having a mercy for people. These people don't judge people.
Great.
They're not into judging them. They don't point out their faults. They don't judge them. You know, someone like someone who's maybe a leader or a visionary, they might see people's faults. But someone who has the motivational gift of mercies, the motivational gift of love, just doesn't see people's faults. They just want to love people.
These are the people in a crowd that will go after the one.
Yeah.
Right. They'll leave the 99 to find the one.
Yeah.
These are the people that will naturally befriend the outcasts in a group.
Right.
They're always looking out for the people that are on the fringes in order to bring them in.
Yeah.
They're deep feelers. They get very sometimes too. They've been accused of wearing their heart on their sleeve.
Right.
They'll
too soppy. Yeah.
They'll get emotionally connected, or they'll rescue all of the damsels in distress.
Right.
Right. And sometimes they'll be taken advantage of because they have this big heart to love people. They're going to love the unlovable. They're going to love the outcasts of society.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, you might find that you've been taken advantage of because you've just got this big heart to love on people, but it's the motivational gift of mercy.
That's right. They have mm-hmm. compassion and love. And, you know, there's someone we knew, a friend of ours, mutual friend of ours, and she just loved everyone. And people even made fun of her. I think they nicknamed her Liquid Love. They were like, this is just like, you know, she just loves all the time. No, that's because she had that compassion to love people, and that gift, that motivational gift of mercies. That was her gift mm-hmm. of mercies. So these seven motivational gifts, again, prophecy, being a visionary, having wisdom and thinking about things in the future and thinking about how to solve problems and things like that, dreaming about things, dreaming mm-hmm. about a better way, prophecy. The second one's ministry or serving, or the gift of help, just wanting to serve people and help out and not necessarily be leading, but just serving. The third one's teaching, being able to explain a difficult thing and making it easy for someone and actually showing someone, enlightening people and showing this is how this works and actually helping people understand things, teaching. The fourth one is exhortation or encouragement, someone who encourages people and always wants people to feel good about themselves, encouraging mm-hmm. them. The fifth one's giving, having money to give, and often entrepreneurs have this because they want to give mm-hmm. and they want to be able to give and lead with their giving. The sixth one here is leading or ruling, and they're people that lead people. They actually like leading people. These are some of the managers. These are some of the people in you know, that actually people follow them.
Yep.
I tell people, if you're leading and no one's following you, you're just taking
you're
a
just
walk.
Taking a
you're
walk.
Just taking a walk. But leaders, when they walk, people follow them. And then the seventh one is mercy or love or compassion. They're people that love people and compassion. Again, these seven, they're not necessarily black and white. You'll probably be operating in two or three of these. Maybe you have one or two or three of these motivations inside of you, but maybe there's one that really is prominent in you. Maybe it's one that says, yeah, that's what motivates me. I get motivated about these mm-hmm. things. I get motivated about serving and helping people. I get mm-hmm. motivated just to love people. I get motivated to encourage people. I get motivated motivated to give. If that's your motivation, it just keeps coming up and it's you can't get away from it. That's your motivation. It doesn't matter if you're in secular work, doesn't matter if you're in church, doesn't matter weight raising your kids. If that's your motivation, then that's probably your motivational gift. One of the activities that God the Father has put inside of you. And it's good to recognize that. It's good to recognize that.
It is, because I think
a combination.
I think when you allow the Holy Spirit to highlight these things to you, and when you look back at your life, you know, one of the things that I did even in Bible school, I was like, Lord, when we went through all these things, I came from the place where I just thought, I don't think I've got any of these things going on in my life.
I've got none of these gifts. Right? I've got none of these gifts.
And sometimes, you know, it can be difficult. Like maybe like me, if you have to write a resume or a CV or something, if you're in England, and you have to write what your strengths and weaknesses are, I used to find that so difficult, because I just couldn't see it. And so the Holy Spirit will help you. The thing is, you need to take this by faith, right, some of you, because you have these on the inside of you. The Word says you do. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, you can ask the Holy Spirit to show you what your gifts are.
Come on.
Because some of you are more connected with your weaknesses than you are with your strengths. You can see your weaknesses really well. But you need to see where your strengths are, because, you know, if you've been beaten down, okay, if you've been squashed,
right,
over and over and over again, you can be more familiar with your weaknesses than your strengths. And it's going to take the Holy Spirit, your comforter, helper, friend, to highlight these things to you. And you can ask him, Lord, show me where my strengths are. Because when you know where they are, you'll actually make better life choices.
Yeah.
You'll navigate towards career opportunities that really use your gifts, right? If you don't recognize that you have any, you just sign up for something that, you know, just makes the money or fits the bill, but you won't be satisfied in it. You know, we need to be, God has put a unique package of gifts and abilities, motivations on the inside of us. And I think it's really important to take time to ask the Lord, show me what those things are, because then you're going to make better decisions and be more intentional about exploring and using those things.
That's right. That's right. And that's why sometimes you've been frustrated in areas, is because you've been put in a position where, you know, that's not your motivation. That's not where you fit. And just be faithful and serve there. But, you know, there's opportunities for you where you think, actually, I really love to help. I really love to serve. I need this type of position. It's going to be better for me to have that type of job.
You mentioned something earlier that I think is really important. And I think we see this in church often. And it's people with maybe the gift of serving that, because they've been faithful in serving for a long time, people think, well, you can't be happy there. Surely you've got to be promoted to be a leader.
You need to be a leader now.
Right. And actually, when they're put in a position that they're not gifted in, it's like really stressful and it becomes a burden. And, you know, if we know that actually our motivational gift isn't leading people, it's actually serving, it's okay to say, you know what, that wouldn't be a promotion for me.
Right. That's not what I called it. And vice versa. You know, I remember we did a conference one time and I had two of my friends with me, and they're both leaders, definite leaders.
Yeah.
And I said, can you help me with this? And I asked them to help me. The most mundane thing, easy.
Like sticking a poster on a wall,
I think it was. And they just couldn't get it because they're both leaders and they didn't know how to do that. And they're like, okay, I need to find some, give me some helps people around here. Give me some people that know how to serve.
You need to be in the right lane.
And that's right. Get in the right lane. So hopefully this helps you. Pray in the Holy Ghost. In fact, right now, have you got questions? Anyone got any questions, or we'll come back to that? Let me pray for you right now in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank you that you've set this up and you've shown us in your word how you've given us gifts and offices and motivational gifts for us to be successful, for us to actually walk in the things and the promises you have for us. And right now, Lord, I pray for everyone watching now.
Yep.
I thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you're going to show them, reveal to them over these next few days. You're going to reveal to them what are their what motivational gifts have you given them, Lord? What have they got inbuilt them so they can see, Lord, where you're leading them? In Jesus' name right now, Lord, I thank you. We're going to be able to understand who we are in Christ and understand these motivational gifts that you've given us, Lord.
Amen.
Everyone said amen. Praise the Lord.
So Debbie says, and this brings up a really interesting point, actually. This is on Facebook, I took a spiritual gifts test many years ago.
Spiritual gifts test.
And my strongest gift was voluntary poverty.
Voluntary poverty. That is not, where's that in the Bible? Maybe that's in 2 Hesitations, verse 16, because I can't find it in my Bible.
Okay. So I think, I think what we should do, actually, because we're going to get into spiritual gifts. There are some tools out there that will help you to identify where your strength, by asking probing questions, they'll help you to identify maybe where these gifts and motivational gifts are. But there are also some really poorly put together not scripturally based tools out there. And there is no gift of voluntary poverty.
Right.
Okay.
Right. It may be the motivational gift of giving.
Yes.
That may be the motivation. In fact, we got accused of this at one place we was at. They said, Ashley and Kari operate in the voluntary gift, voluntary poverty gift. And it wasn't because we just love giving all the time. We used to give everything away. That doesn't mean that's that gift. That's because we had one of our motivational gifts was giving. So because of that, people thought, oh, you must have this gift of voluntary poverty. And, you know, now I believe in sacrificially giving, but I believe you can't outgive God. In actual fact, when you do that, when you operate in that, God increases what you have anyway, so what you give anyway. So you end up going to end up having more anyway. But I can understand what they're saying. So we're not trying to make fun of that. We're just saying that is probably the gift of giving you have. And, we're going to explain the spiritual gifts in a minute.
Yeah.
That's really going to help.
And we will. And I think that you just have to be... You really do have to be wise about these. You can take all kinds of tests and quizzes, and you know some people are asking about like personality tests and things.
Yeah.
And there are some really useful personality tests that are secular. Okay, mm-hmm. Now you have to understand that they don't take into account any spiritual gifts, which we're about to get into, but they're useful in as long as you understand what they're trying. They're based on psychology, on the study of human personality and psyche. And we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, those things, because they can be helpful. They can be helpful for you to understand the way in which you are designed to communicate with others and how you process and receive information from others and help you as a communication tool, say, in the workplace. We've even used them in the workplace before, personality tests. As long as you balance those things with understanding that that's really just viewing you in the flesh.
Yeah, that's the soul part of you.
Okay, that's just how your personality and your character processes information.
Yeah.
There's a place for that as long as you understand the what their place is.
Don't let that be your label. Don't let that be your identifier. So this is who I am.
Because you can change. You can learn. You can grow.
Your soul can change. You can renew your mind.
Yeah.
Your soul can change. Don't label yourself. This is who I am. This is it. And this is all I am. No, that's just you and your soul, and you can change. But spiritually speaking, that's where we want to look. You know, who's the spiritual you? And the spiritual you is very different from the soul you, if you like, until you renew your mind. So, yeah, they can be helpful tools, but don't go off on a tangent on them, and make sure you don't identify. Someone labels you something. Don't accept that label. You know, you're a new creation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God, you're a new creation.
Thank you for joining us for this Power Academy podcast. Be sure to join our e-learning platform where you'll have access to lessons, detailed notes, and quizzes that empower you to switch on your faith. Enroll for free at learn.teredesministries.com.